and we can get started with our program.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Sabiha. It's my pleasure to welcome you. A very good evening to everyone. We are, of course, in the month of Rajab. And more so in this month, we are reminded of that miraculous night journey known as Isra and Mi'raj. So to discuss more about that, we are in the virtual company of Dr. Siddiqui. Welcome to you. How are you this evening, sir?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much. Allah bless you.
Amen. Dr. Siddiqui, let's begin by talking a little bit about this month itself. What does the word Rajab actually mean? Share some of the relevant etymology of this word, and then explain to us why the month of Rajab has a special place on the Islamic calendar. Thank you, sir.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. The month of Rajab is the seventh month of the Islamic lunar calendar. The months according to the lunar cycle. And it is one of the sacred months, one of the blessed months. The word Rajab means honor, the honorable month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, إِنَّ عِنْدَةَ شُهُورَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ اثْنَا عَشَرَ شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةٌ حُرُمٌ. The number of months, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the day He created the heaven and the earth, are 12 months. Out of the 12 months, there are 4 months that are sacred months. These months were recognized by the Arabs before accepting Islam, before receiving the message of Islam, that there are some sacred months. And in these months, they would not fight, they would not have battles. So the months were reserved for journey freely without any fear of attack from any tribe, and they would spend this time in worship, in doing good things. 3 months come together, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hajjah, and Muharram, 11, 12, and the first month of Muharram. So these 3 months come together. In the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, they would travel. In the month of Dhul-Hajjah, they perform Hajj. And in the month of Muharram, they would return to their homes. So everybody can do things in a very safe manner. Now the month of Rajab comes between Jumada and Sha'ban. So this month was also special. They would recognize it with the worship. Some of them, they used to go even for Umrah during this time. So it was an honorable month, it was a respectable month, and Islam recognized, reaffirmed this tradition and said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Minha arba'atun hurum fala taznimu fihinna anfusakum. So do not do wrong things. Do not do wrong things any time, any month. But since you recognize these 4 months, also observe. Don't fight. If you don't fight, it's good. Anytime. And you recognize these 4 months, so at this time, don't do that. So this is the history of this month of Rajab. And the Prophet ﷺ emphasized that. The Arabs, they had another custom that sometimes they would change the months. If they wanted to have some fight with some tribe, they will say month of Rajab will come later. So they delay the month of Rajab, postpone it. And sometime they will have intercalation. That means add the days in the month. And to make it coincide, synchronize with the solar calendar. All of these kind of things were happening, mixing up in their calendar. Different tribes were doing that, except the one tribe of Mudar, and that was not doing that. They would keep the Rajab as it is in their own, because there was no universal calendar. So each tribe had its own way of understanding. So month of Rajab was capped by the tribe of Mudar as it is. So that's why it was called also Rajab Mudar, the Rajab of Mudar. That means that is the month that is fixed in its own time. That is the month that Rasulullah spoke about, that the Rajab Mudar. So that is Nasi was a problem that existed at that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that innama nasiu ziyadatun min al-kufr. Nasi is a part of the days of disbelief, of the days of ignorance, that they were doing that. Islam did not accept Nasi. Islam said the months should remain as they are, according to the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And Rasulullah SAW announced that in his last Hajj. And he said, the time has moved, and it is now, every month is in its own place, as Allah created the heaven and the earth. So now don't change that. Keep it that way. So alhamdulillah, from that time, from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, all of them come according to their own time. So Rajab is respected by Muslims also. All over the world, they respect it. There is no special dua or prayer or fasting in this month. But some people do that because they are sacred months, so you can do that. But there is nothing emphasized and recommended that you must do that. It is up to you. So there is no special dua of the night of Isra and Mi'raj. There is no prayer at the night of Isra and Mi'raj. There is no fasting on the 27th of Rajab. And the 27th of Rajab is generally recognized as the day, or the night of the 27th of Rajab, is the night in which the Isra and Mi'raj took place. Although there are some other dates also given, so there is no unanimity on that. But most people recognize that that was the night of Isra and Mi'raj. And as I mentioned, there is no special dua or prayer for that night, and there is no fasting especially mentioned for that. But if people want to fast, if people want to make dua, they can do any time.
Thank you. Dr. Siddiqui, set the scene for us now, if you will. What was happening in Makkah at that time? Briefly explain to us, what were some of the circumstances that led up to such a phenomenal event?
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he started preaching his message, there was a lot of opposition. People did not want to give up idol worship, their traditional religion, their tribal religion, tribal way of life. They didn't want to give up. So a small number of people accepted him, and especially the young people, the slaves, those who had difficulty, they accepted. But there were many leaders of Mecca. They opposed the Prophet ﷺ. So he went through a lot of difficulties at that time. Early followers were persecuted. They went through great hardship. And Rasulullah ﷺ had support of his uncle, Abu Talib, and also support of his wife, Khadija. Both of them come from prominent families of Mecca, and they had their influence. So the people of Mecca, they were persecuting, they were creating problem, but at the same time, they recognized Abu Talib, they recognized Khadija, radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they did not physically harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then Abu Talib was an old person. He died in his old age. And after that, within a few weeks or a few months after that, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away. So this was a personal loss for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was grieved, and he called that time Amul Huzn, the year of grief. Also, it was a difficult time for him to present the message of Islam to the people. The Meccans became bold in opposing the Prophet and hurting the Prophet and his followers. So Rasulullah was looking for some other place where he could go, because his work is for Allah. His place is important, Makkah is important, but again, if it is not possible to present the message there, he would go and find some other place. So Rasulullah left Makkah and went all the way to Taif. Taif is a hill town, about 50 miles from Makkah. And some of the rich people, prosperous people of Makkah, and they live there because the climate is cooler, especially in summertime. And so they used to spend their time there. So Rasulullah went to Taif, expecting that some of them might listen to him and pay attention to his message. And he spoke to the leadership there, but they did not listen. They refused to listen to him. And actually, they even asked some young people that chase him out, let him leave the city. And so they started chasing the Prophet and throwing stones to the Prophet. And Rasulullah was wounded. His blessed feet were wounded, and the blood was coming out from there. So Rasulullah left the city, and he took a rest in an orchard, in a small garden of palm trees and grapes. So Rasulullah entered there and sat down, and then he raised his hands and made dua, a very moving dua, in which he mentioned, Allahumma ashku ilayka da'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani ala an-nas. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Anta Rabbi, Anta Rabbul Mustada'afin. Oh Allah, I complain to you my difficulties, my pain, my suffering, the mistreatment of the people for me, but you are the most merciful. To you I complain all of this. And then in the end he says that, to whom you are leaving me, Allah? To my enemies, to those who are going to, who have overpowering me. But then, if you are not angry with me, I do not care. If you are not angry with me, like al-udba hatta tarda, you should be pleased with me. I want that you approve me and you be pleased with me. So Rasulullah made this dua, and there was a young servant of the owner of the garden. He was watching the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi And he brought some grapes from the garden and presented them to the Prophet. Rasulullah took one of the grapes and he said, Bismillah. Addas was the man who presented that. He was surprised. He said that when he said, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the compassionate, Addas said, who are you? Your people, I mean, the people here, they don't say that. So who are you? Where from are you? So the Prophet asked him, what about you? You said that your people, as if you are not from here in this area. So what about you? He said, I am from Nineveh. And the Prophet said, oh, that is the city of my brother, Yunus. Yunus alayhi salam. So he said, how do you know Yunus alayhi salam? People here, they don't know. And the Prophet said, he was a prophet of Allah and I am the prophet of Allah. So Addas at that moment fell down and he kissed the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And his master saw him from distance. And he asked Addas, what happened? What were you doing? He said, there is no one better than him at this on the face of the earth. So you see that the leadership of Taif refused to listen to him, but there was someone who recognized his greatness and his high place, the respect and honor. And then Prophet ﷺ moved from there and came to Makkah. The situation was very difficult there. The Prophet came to Mecca, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw his difficulties and his pain and his dua to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra. With difficulty come ease, with difficulty come ease. So Rasulullah had this experience of Isra and Mi'raj in that kind of situation. It's a beautiful and a great miracle that happened. And this was to show the Prophet Allah's signs and to show that mission is not going to fail. Mission is going to succeed. The message is going to reach to all different places. And there are many other incidents that happened during this time, but this is just a summary of the condition of Mecca and what is happening at that time.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on to the main segment of our talk this evening. Go ahead, post your questions in the chat box at any time. Dr. Siddiqui, with that very heart-rending backdrop, we are now all going to join you for a virtual tour. Describe for us the details of that remarkable night journey when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was transported through the seven heavens and beyond. Thank you.
Yes, this is a beautiful story. It is a long story, so I'll not tell you all the details, but there are several segments. The first one is the Prophet going from Mecca to Jerusalem. The Quran says from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. Second thing is the Prophet was going from Jerusalem to the heavens. Ascension of the Prophet from Jerusalem to heaven. The first is called Isra, night journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. That's Isra. And the second is Mi'raj, that is ascension from Jerusalem to heaven. And both of these events happen miraculously in a very short time, in one night, in the same night. So he was taken from Masjid al-Haram. Some stories say that he also, his chest was open, which called Shaqq al-Sadr, and his heart was washed. So this is like a preparation for his blessed journey, and also he is going to be in the audience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a total cleanliness of the body inside and outside, and that happened. And then Jibril alayhi salam was his companion, and Jibril came and he presented to him a special conveyance. This is a celestial animal that is called Buraq. Buraq is described that is smaller than a mule and bigger than a donkey. So it's in between, a kind of a medium-sized horse, and speed is very fast. It's like a speed of light. That's what we call Buraq. Burq is light. So speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, and even more than that. So that is the speed of light. And it moved very fast from Mecca to Jerusalem. So probably in less than a second was there in Jerusalem. And Rasulullah arrived the city of Jerusalem and to the place where there was the masjid of Dawood alayhi salam, the old masjid that was established long time before that by Ibrahim alayhi salam and then Dawood alayhi salam. So we'll talk about that. So there, near the Masjid al-Aqsa, the Prophet tied his buraq at one of the the rings was of a door. He tied his buraq, and then after that he went, and he was happy to see many prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were there in their spirit. They were gathered to receive him, to welcome him. And they asked him to lead the prayer. He's the last prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is was given this honor to be the imam of the prophets of Allah. So he led them in prayer. And after he finished the prayer and greeted the prophets and messengers, Jibril alayhi salam came to him and presented him two cups. One was with milk, and the other was the cup of wine. Wine at that time was not haram, because this is before the hijrah of the Prophet from Mecca to Medina. It became haram when the Prophet came to Medina later. So he presented to him two cups and gave him the choice. Select whatever cup you want to take for you to drink. And Rasulullah accepted the cup of milk and refused the cup of wine. And at that time, Jibril alayhi salam made the remark. He said, "Hudita ila al-fitra wa hudiyat ummatuk." You are guided to the natural path, the path of purity and goodness, and so will be your ummah, your community, your followers. They will be. So ummah is the ummah of fitrah. We follow the path of pure and authentic and clean nature. And wine is ummul khabais. Wine is the mother of the evils. And Rasulullah rejected it immediately, without any instructions, without any order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He himself, inside his had the fitrah. So he rejected that. And it became, of course, forbidden. It's haram to drink alcohol. All type of alcohol, not just wine, all types of alcohol. Any intoxicant is forbidden for Muslims to have that. So here, Rasulullah took this fresh, good milk, and he was ready for further journey. And then he was presented Mi'raj. Mi'raj is a kind of a ladder, a celestial, miraculous ladder. And that was presented to him in one of the hadith. The Prophet said, this is something that at the time of when a soul departs, of a human being's soul departs the body, a person sees something. And that is what he sees, especially a believer sees that. So that's kind of a ladder. The eyes move towards heaven. And I said, that is what was presented to me. So he went on this ladder and Jibreel was with him and arrived to the first heaven. Heaven, there are seven heavens mentioned in the Quran, سَبْعَ سَمَوَاتِ الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَوَاتِ انْتِبَاقَ. The samawat are layer upon layers. It's of course, long distance between one heaven to another heaven, but these are seven heavens. The full nature of them only are known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but mention that. So he came to there are prophets who welcome him and who receive him. These are like his reception. People were there ready to receive the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in the first heaven, Adam alayhi salam was there, the first human being. He received him. And he said, Marhaban bin Nabi al-Saleh, bil Ibn al-Saleh. Welcome to a pious son, and a pious prophet, a great prophet. So Ibn al-Saleh, well, Nabi al-Saleh. And he welcomed him and recognized his prophethood. And then he moved to the second heaven, and there he found that Jesus, peace be upon him, and Yahya alayhi salam, his cousin, both of them were there to receive the Prophet. And they also said that, they said, Marhaban bil Nabi al-Saleh. Adam alayhi salam, of course, is the father of everyone. So he said, son, but as far as Isa alayhi salam, and Yahya alayhi salam, they said, Marhaban bin Nabi al-Saleh. And they recognized his prophethood. And then the Prophet moved to the third heaven. And there he found Yusuf alayhi salam, most beautiful, most handsome person, and great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the family of Yaqub alayhi salam. So he received the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and also said, Marhaban bin Nabi al-Salih. Welcome to a pious prophet, the great prophet. And then he moved to the fourth heaven. And on the fourth heaven, it is mentioned that he met Ilyas alayhi salam, Elijah, the prophet, the great prophet of Allah. And he is raised already in the highest rank. وَرَفَعْنَاهُ مَكَانًا عَلِيًّا. And then he moved to another heaven, and that is the fifth heaven. And on the fifth heaven, the Prophet ﷺ was received by Harun alayhi salam, Harun ibn Imran. So Prophet Aaron, a great prophet of Allah, who was the brother of Musa alayhi salam, and who was a supporter of Musa alayhi salam, and his mission was the same as the mission of Musa alayhi salam. So Musa, Harun alayhi salam received the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam. And then after that, he went to the sixth heaven, and there was Musa alayhi salam himself. And Musa alayhi salam also received him and honored him and recognized his prophethood. And then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam went to seventh heaven, and that is the highest heaven. And there was Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abu al-Anbiya, the father of the many prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he received him, and he also said, Marhaban bin Nabi al-Salih wal Ibn al-Salih. Welcome to a great prophet, a pious prophet, and a pious son. Because he is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is in the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam, through his son Ismail alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam called him an al-Ibn, the son, and also the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, he was taken to a place called Sidratul Muntaha. That is the ultimate boundary. That is the boundary, Allah says, Indaha Jannatul Ma'wa. That is the place where there is Jannah, Jannatul Ma'wa. And then Prophet went there. And then beyond that is of this boundary, Jibreel alayhi salam said, now you proceed. This is my limit. And so Jibreel alayhi salam stayed there. And he was taken now towards the audience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, لَقَدْ رَآ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى إِذْ يَخْشَى السِّدْرَةَ مَا يَخْشَى مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا تَغَى لَقَدْ رَآ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. Revealed to him whatever he revealed. He revealed to him the mysteries of the heaven and the earth. He showed him the whole universe, the creation, whatever is going on. He showed him that. That's what Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Najm, فَأُوحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا تَغَى لَقَدْ رَآ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. He saw the greatest signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with all that, then he was given two gifts, special gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليهم ربي والمؤمنون إلى آخر فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. So these two ayat were given especially in that in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Rasulullah said, whosoever recite these two ayat before going to bed, before sleeping, kafatah, they will be sufficient for him. They will bring him blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are great ayat. They speak about iman of the believer, and they speak about a special dua, Rabbana la tuakhizna in nasina wa akhtana. Lord, don't hold us accountable if we make mistakes by forgetfulness. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. So that was a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a special dua that is given that talks about aqidah, our belief, and then our devotion to Allah, our supplication to Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that you and your ummah should pray, make salat every day. So obligation of salat was given at that time. And he was told to pray 50 times every day. You or your ummah should pray 50 times every day. And of course, Rasulullah is the most obedient servant of Allah. Muslim, but the one who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not say anything. He accepted that. And he returned with this 50 prayers. So he passed by Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, again, Hanif and Muslima. Ibrahim alayhi salam did not ask too many questions, but Musa alayhi salam is very inquisitive person. So Musa alayhi salam said, what happened? And what did you receive? Did you get anything? And he mentioned that Allah gave me 50 prayers. Musa alayhi salam said, I have experience of Bani Israel, very difficult people. So I ask you to go back and ask Allah to reduce the number, because my people could not do it, and I don't think your people can do that. So it will be difficult. So go. Rasulullah asked Jibreel, should I go? And Jibreel said, yes. So he moved, he went, and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reduce. And so the prayers were made 40. 10 prayers were taken away and said, all right, you do 40 prayers. And Rasulullah salam went back, left and came, and Musa alayhi salam asked again. And he said, no, you have to go and ask more reduction. So he went back and forth, until there were only 5 prayers left. And he came back and he said to Musa alayhi salam, 5 prayers. Musa alayhi salam, there's still too much. Go and ask for less. And the Prophet said, istahiyat. I'm shy, I'm embarrassed to go and ask again. So then he heard a voice coming from heaven, from above. And the voice saying, amzaytu faridati. This is the obligation. But I reduce for my servants. And these are 5 prayers, but the reward will be 50. My word will not change. I said 50, so there will be 50, but reward will be 50, but you will have 5 prayers. So what an honor. And again, you can see that here Musa alayhi salam, his experience, and here also the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him back and forth, so coming again and again to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then say to him that this will be the reward. So prayer is very important. Prayer was given from above, from the heaven, and all the orders came to earth, but the prayers came to when the Prophet ﷺ was in the heaven. So amzaytu faridati, I have made my farida, this obligation is there, and you have to do that. So 5 prayers we perform, and the reward will be 50 prayers if they are done in the right way. It's a blessing, it's an honor. And Rasulullah ﷺ accepted that. But of course, in his life, he did not pray 50 times, but he prayed more than 50 rak'ah every day. Rasulullah used to pray 17 rak'ah fard, 12 rak'ah sunnah, and then he also used to pray witr prayer, 3 rak'ah, and he used to make tahajjud prayer, 8 rak'ah, and he used to make ishraq prayer, 8 rak'ah. And he used to have Tahiyyatul Masjid and other Nawafil. So if you put them all together, They are more than 50. And he loved the prayer. He said, Qurratu ayni fi salah, my coolness of my eyes, happiness of my eyes in the salat, happiness of my heart in the salat. So salat is very important. And we have to pay attention to salat. Salat is, said, is mi'raj of the believers. It is the ascension of the believers. Salat has many benefits. So that is the gift that he received. And after that, the Prophet ﷺ was shown the area. He was shown the heaven. He was shown the Jannah. And then also he passed by and he was shown the hellfire. So heaven and hell are there. Creator of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was shown to the Prophet ﷺ, and he was shown what is going to happen to those who do good deeds and who have faith, and what will happen to those who turn away from the right path. So that is the heaven and hell. And then the Prophet ﷺ was brought back to Jerusalem. And then from there, he came back to Mecca. So that is a kind of summary of this great journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Different, the sequence of the events might be slightly different in different reports, but this is a generally accepted sequence that I gave you. So this is the itinerary of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is generally accepted by the writers of the seerah of the Prophet.
Thank you. Dr. Siddiqui, this information, no matter how many times we review with you, I'm sure each one of us, including yourself, we become emotionally moved by the details. But tell us now, Dr. Siddiqui, how did the word spread in Mecca that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had experienced such a journey? And what was the reaction of certainly the kuffar of Mecca, but what was also the reaction of the believers? Were there skeptics amongst them?
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, in the morning, he told people what happened to him. And Abu Jahl was also there. And he said, that's what you are saying? He said, yes. Say, can I bring people? So he brought people. And some of them were disbelievers. Some of them were Muslims also. So those who were strong in their faith, they said, of course, we accept that. But those who were weak in their faith and those who were disbelievers, they ridiculed him. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anh was a great companion of the Prophet. He was one of the first people who accepted Islam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh was told, and he came and he asked the Prophet, said, is this true, O Messenger of Allah? Is this what you are telling? And he said, yes. Then he said, I believe that. I believe something more than that. I believe that Allah sent you the message from heaven every now and then. So if Allah sent you the heaven message from heaven, Allah can take you there and show you the place. So he accepted that. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I visited Jerusalem. I have been there. Could you describe something of Jerusalem so that other people hear? And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the area. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, yes, yes, you're right. This is the way how it is. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him Siddiq. So he became Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. The title of Abu Bakr Siddiq was given to him. So it became a fitna for the disbelievers. It became a fitna for some people. That means a trial for them. But it was a confirmation of faith for the believers. And it gave them a hope that the message is going to reach to all over. And it is the message is not going to fail, even though there was persecution and there are difficulties. But Islam is going to spread. So we can learn many lessons from this.
Thank you. Dr. Siddiqui, in the beginning, you mentioned some cultural practices that take place during this month. Just briefly, any do's and don'ts and any harm in any of the practices?
I mean, there are people who say that there is a special prayer, which they call it Salatul Ghaib. Salatul Ghaib, our scholars say, it has no basis. So they say the first Friday of the month of Rajab, you should have a special prayer and fast that is on Thursday, and then after that, in that night, you pray. That has no basis. Some people say it is recommended that you must make Umrah during Rajab. Again, it is not in any authentic hadith that you make Rajab, Umrah of Rajab, especially having some special celebration of the night of Rajab, of the night of Isra and Mi'raj, that is also not mentioned. Of course, you can learn from this story many lessons, and they are very significant lessons, very important lessons, but having a special prayers, our scholars say, if you want to pray, pray, but not say that this is the prayer of that night, because we should not make our religion according to our own wishes. It has to be according to the way that we are given to us by the Prophet ﷺ, by the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ.
Thank you, Dr.
Do you have any other cultural practice that you have in mind?
Not that I know of. No, I didn't grow up with any cultural practices myself.
Okay.
But Allah bless you, Dr. Siddiqui, and give us the understanding to dwell upon the lessons. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, go ahead, unmute yourself. And if not, then Dr. Siddiqui, may we join you for a closing dua, sir.
Alhamdulillah. One thing, just let me just mention about the relationship between Mecca and Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is a very important place, very important city, and the area of Masjid al-Aqsa is a very important area for us, and we Muslims should understand the significance of Jerusalem, significance of Masjid al-Aqsa, and pay full attention to that. And, you know, Ibrahim alayhi salam had two sons, Yaqub alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, and Ismail alayhi salam. And he had one son, Ishaq alayhi salam, in Jerusalem, and the other son, Ismail alayhi salam, in Mecca. And there, the two centers were there. And these centers existed, and other prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. And then came Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his going from Mecca to Jerusalem indicates that now there is merging of the two. That means the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam includes both cities, Mecca and Jerusalem. And it is now all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were all together. It's one message, one group, one mission. That is the significance of his bringing him from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem going to heaven. So it is important, very important to keep that in mind, the significance of Jerusalem for us Muslims, historical significance as well as religious significance. For us, it is part of our aqidah. We cannot give it up. We have to keep it in our mind and in our understanding, and understand that we have to pay full attention to this city and to this masjid. And the masjid we should not neglect.
Thank you. Siddiqui, a closing dua from you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين، رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين. اللهم انا نسالك مجيبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل اسم والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم ارفع ارفع هذا الوباء وهذا البلاء، اللهم ارفع الهم والغم من أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في كل مكان، وخاصة في فلسطين وخاصة في القدس الشريف. والله we pray to you to remove the difficulties of people from everywhere and especially the Muslims who are suffering in the land of Israel Miraj. Allah remove their difficulties and their pain, and those who are suffering in other places, other receiving and the other difficulties. Allah help us on the right, keep us on the right path, and help us to work to remove the suffering of the people. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. Sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi محمد وآله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
تقبل الله. الله bless you, Dr. Siddiqui.
الله bless you. Thank you.